Radio. It said reconnected me and the thing has gone off. Well, all of a sudden it's not connected. No, I don't have to use my... You weren't using yours. Keep calling the people back about this phone, but this is ridiculous. This don't even make sense. It's got to be the phone. It's not the station, because they just said they connected me and the sign is going off. So it's not the station. It's not the program. It's the phone. Let me use your separate phone. You hear me? Let me use your phone. Well, she just said she was connected, and it's got to be connected some kind of way. It's got to be something on this button. It's got to be something on this phone. Because it's definitely not the program, because it connected me back. And this here phone here is connected because I'm signing in on it. The phone shows up on the screen. So it can't be the phone. I mean, it can't be the screen. Are you receiving that, what I'm calling? Oh, well, that's why you're not hearing me then, because your phone is in the back. So that phone back there, you just took back there and put down, that's the one that's got this phone here messed up. This is not cut off. This phone is, it's not cut off. Well, you should have fixed something on it. You turned to do something to keep it from,
I cut my phone off.
Why would you cut your phone off?
Because yours are acting up, so I cut mine off.
did not start acting up. It's the house phone that's acting up. It's not my cell phone. Well, it's the house phone. It's registered here on the screen. Well, it's something you did on your house phone when you on your phone when you did have it connected up that messed up this phone. If I can get it on my cell phone, then it's something that you did to the house phone.
I ain't did nothing to the house
phone. If I can get it on my cell phone, it's something that you did when you had the house phone. That's how you connected it before, but then all of a sudden it went off.
Well, what would I do with something to the house? How could I do that?
Easy. You always know what the phone is here. So high-tech, you know how to mess around.
Maybe Quran and them are already in. Well, maybe they just went off now. Maybe the phone would be able to be connected, but they just went off. See, it cuts me right back off. It cuts right back off. Somebody, as soon as they came back on, and we put the phone back on, and it reconnected me, and then it just turned right back off again. So somebody's playing with the phones. Somebody know how to get into the lines and mess with it. Because she said she was putting me back in now, connecting me now, but it didn't go any further. My phone hung right back up. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Quran. Assalamu alaikum, Suja. Dial a number, Osman, see if your number comes up on here. Because I got Quran's mic open and I got my mic open. Did you hear me, Osman? Back on, like, they opened their mic. See, they opened their mic back up. So evidently, they know how to work the phone. Why did you call in twice? Now you just let one of yours go. But I still didn't hear anything from the lady. Okay, now nobody's up here now on the mic but me. Because I just... I know that, Abba. I just put them back on the mute, just like you were on mute when you first showed up. But see, they were on open. They opened their own mic before. I didn't. Yeah, I know I'm on now.
Not that I mean know about this.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. What I have to say, Hear me out, don't turn and walk away. Why I see kind of bold? Well, it's a question that should run deep down in your soul.
What would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world and worship the image of an African American man as savior of the world before them?
So I seek refuge from Allah, from rejected enemy, Shaitan. With Allah's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, cherished and sustained of all the worlds. Most merciful, the most redeemer, benefactor, Oh, excuse me. Okay. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. I mean, I just recited to you the Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran in Arabic and then in English. And sometimes, you know, you say the Arabic so much, and most of the time, but you really forget the English translated, and you have to check back in the Quran. So, well, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, the message of concern. Step concern meaning the removal of all images, including racial images, from worship that portray divine. That's the first focus. The most serious concern. The second focus is the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. And I want to say how significant that really is, and the problem with some of the adults as well, you know, so all of us can stand some to be reminded and know what it's all about, what the message of concern is all about. On we are hoping to have an audience today or guest who will contribute to the focus, which is the psychological effect of the image on the minds of the world's children. So what I usually do is read from Brother Henry's book, the parts by King James, from King James Version of the Bible. It says the Holy Bible, King James Version, in the back of Brother Henry's book. It also says the Holy Quran. So we're going to speak to you just two chapters from the Bible and two surahs from the Quran about that graven image, which the message of concern is all about. We'll start first with the Holy Bible and the King James Version, and we'll focus on two chapters, which is first Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Okay, now that's the Exodus. Now we have Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. And if you were listening, those two verses read just about the same and have the same wording. So to me, it says that for them to mention that same those same verses twice and almost verbatim, the wording is the same, then it has great significance. And then we just would read those two chapters and their verses and ponder over that and think about it, then we can see that there's only one God and that there should not be any other graven images that's in our path of worship, in our way of worship, that will be portraying the Creator. Okay? I want to make my commitment. There's no God but Allah, the one God, the one and only, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between. the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the seal of the prophets and Allah's messenger. Now I'd like to go to the Quran, the Holy Quran, and it states, Surah 4, which is An-Nisa, the women. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O mankind, the apostle has come to you in truth from Allah. Believe in him, it is best for you. But if ye reject faith, to Allah belong all things in the heavens and on earth. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the book, commit no excesses in your religion, nor say of Allah anything but the truth. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah and his word, which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles. Say not Trinity deceives. It will be better for you, for Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him, for exalted is he above having a son. To him belong all things in the heavens and on earth, and enough is Allah as a disposer of affairs. Christ does not disdain to serve and worship Allah, nor do the angels, those nearest to Allah. Those who disdain his worship and are arrogant, he will gather them all together unto himself to answer. But to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, he will give their due rewards and more out of his bounty. But those who are disdainful and arrogant, he will punish them. He will punish, spend Allah, with a grievous chastisement, nor will they find besides Allah in it to protect or help them. And then the last one is the very short Surah 112, Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. And it reads, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say, he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, sure Allah speaks the truth. Okay, and I see already that we have someone in the queue. Well, we see someone who's indicating that they would like to be brought into the queue to express whatever it is they want to express, as long as it's positive and not disrespectful to the other guest or the host. We will bring them in. See what they have to say. As-salamu alaykum. Oh, let's go to Akbar. Well, Akbar.
Well, you got the name. Well, you got the name.
Thank you. I'm glad you were able to answer me. I know the phone was working better or not, because we did have technical difficulties earlier. I don't know what's wrong with these phones. Well, did you want to say something now? Would you like to start us off?
No, I was waiting on, I was going to come in lately. I mean, later. But I don't want to, you know, I'm with that.
Well, if you want to, it's up to you. I just see your hand up early, so I just thought I would call on you to see anything you wanted to start off, you know, with.
No, I didn't want to say good show, and I know you're talking about the how can we save our children. We save our children is to save the adults that's over the children. Have been trusted with the children, and we know that the way to save them is to first get them to come back to worship of one God, one Creator, who lives and never dies. And once that get into our people, because all the lies have been serpented and kept spread it, and them lies still affecting the human family. The lie on Jesus, and when you add it up, it's a lie. He died for your sin. He coming back, and all this nothing but lie that was made up to give to us to keep us in a baby mind, keep us in a child, on the child mind, because that can be questioned. Somebody died. Why would somebody die? We read about Jesus. He didn't die. He was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And say he come back to save the world. And I wonder what world is that? And so we all these questions, and now we have the answer to them. And no one comes back. No one dies for anybody's sin. Everybody have a time appointed on this earth, and after that time is appointed, then it's over with. And you must return to be judged by the one who gave us the life. So we say all praise is due to our Lord, the Lord, sustainer of all the world. We bear witness that there will never be any, no one to serve but Allah. He is the creator of all of us. He has planted us on this earth so we can be tested and see if we're worried of the great pride that God has kept away from us while he's testing us. And then when the test is over, we get the reward or punishment. And we get what we earn, or what the Bible says. We get what we reap what we sow. So whatever we sow, we will reap it. So we thank Allah for this opportunity to come here on this line to represent the truth that has been given to us through Scripture, all Scripture. And we say we got the final revelation, and that's Al-Quran. And no one could argue with that unless they have read it, unless they have investigated. You know, if they hadn't done that, then they probably would argue with fact. Yeah, we they probably would argue with the fact that this is the final revelation. But it can't be the final revelation because Jesus said what he had said. There will come someone coming by here and bringing all the truth. So I mean, another revelation is coming, man, because and we can see that the Bible is a revelation, but somewhat tampered with, because they have a whole lot of things that don't make sense. And we know God we know that Allah, what he does, makes sense. And what they have given us is hard to swallow. It's hard to understand. So we thank Allah for this opportunity to come on here and try to clear up the mess. And even the Bible has said that the rejecting spy is gonna be the leader. So that means the rejecting spy is gonna be the one to clean up this mess that has been made. And now that makes sense to me. That makes sense. So we thank Allah for the opportunity. The opportunity to share this golden information that there's only one God. And that makes sense. And God do not die. That makes sense. They're trying to make God no different than the human being, and that's not true. So we thank Allah for this opportunity to share what we have about the oneness of God. That God is the creator of all of us, and he has created all of us to test us. We all are the children of Adam. And just like the children of Adam were given an assignment, given an opportunity to help make the world better, then that is what we are doing. We are trying to make the world a better place by bringing the truth. That's been hidden from us. All the lies that have been given to us. So we are trying to bring the truth now, to clear up the lies that were given to us by the evils that this world started off on. And Imam said this world started off on the left feet, and that's the weakest foot. He said you want to kick somebody, you want to kick them with the left foot, that's the weakest foot. either right foot normally is stronger than the left foot. So they started off on the weak foot, on lies and weak ideas and wrong thinking about this world that we live in. And they did that to control the world, and that have affected especially our children, because the knowledge of self, knowledge of who they were, it's been taken away from them, taken away from us. They took our children and raised them at Dunbar and raised us the same way, gave us a public school that had no interest in raising us to the level of scientists and doctors, and but we've been fighting our way to get there, and God, with the help of Allah, allowed us those things, but we get there in those positions. But when they know we're gonna get there in that position of being a doctor, a psychiatrist, or nothing, they put in our mind that ain't nothing they can do for the people like us. There ain't nothing they too much can do. They can go there and get this and worry about themselves. And that is what the Christianity is teaching. Don't worry about the other people, because Jesus done died for their sins. Don't go back and help your people. And that's the reason we don't have no grocery store. That's the reason we don't spend with each other. And we don't teach our children to spend with each other and teach them that. And don't become, we don't at the same time become racist ourselves. But we have to tell them in a way that would show that what we are saying is balanced, that we are the children of Adam. And that's what we have to tell our children. We're not the children of God, but we're the children of Adam. And we are human beings more so than we are anything else. And that's what God said. He made human beings. He made us from Adam. And once that continued to circulate throughout the world, then and churches and the other places have to teach that, because if the church don't teach in one God and other people don't teach in one God, then racism gonna continue to be a part of the society. There's only one God, and we are all human beings made different by the Creator himself, so we can learn from each other, so we can show respect for each other, you know. And, you know, we shouldn't just be loving one ethnic-looking people. We should love all people. And this is what God said when he said, love one another. Until we get to the frame of mind that this got to be put in place, and one God got to be the standard for any legit religion, and until we get that established, then we're going to continue to have all these problems that God have made man and woman, and anything less than that is something that man have drafted in his heart and mind. God said he only made man for the woman and the woman for the man. And anything else, that means they've been drafted, artificial drafted mentality that we do not need to be dealing with, that artificial mentality. Men and women are getting brain damaged now because that image has affected them. And so much has made them think that they got to have the different color of hair. And what that stuff do is seep down in their brain. It causes memory loss, causes brain damage. Put all that dye put in their head. And then that comes from the one look like that image. And God says if he wanted one people, he would have made one. He made us different so we can learn from each other. So we don't try to make, you know, Hitler tried to make a superior race, drafted the same philosophy that Master Rod tried to tell us about, how the Caucasian man was the drafted person. And Hitler tried to bring that into being, he was killing off all the light skin, the red, the pink, and trying to get pure white. That's what he was trying to do. And he didn't. He wasn't successful because you can't. White is not a weak color, not a strong color. It's weak. What I mean is light, and I mean it's not heavy. And that's where the sunlight is not heavy. But when the darkness come over, time it gets so dark, you can't even see your in front of your nose. So it's heavy. The darkness is heavy. And any light, like the sunlight, give you a little light, but it won't give you the best light like the sunlight. So all this scientific, and God wants us to think and use our mind. And this world have taught us not to think, not to use our mind. That's fear. Don't think. And so this has been a problem. And if we get the Sister Claire Muhammad schools and the W.D. Muhammad High, these are some of the things that must be in there. And also for those schools to be successful is have children to think and use their mind and be creative. We want allow the think as African-American children growing up. We want allow the thing. If we was caught catching bugs or something like that, then they looked at us like we were crazy. But the scientists, that's how they start off, catching, playing with spiders and all kind of bugs, catching snakes and doing those things, studying nature. And that's how we got Einstein and the other great scientists. That's what they used to do, study, look at the tree all day long. So we have been trained to respect people do that because the Christian religion wouldn't allow us to venture that far with our mind. So, and even the public school itself, they had that we went to, it more so promoted false superiority and made like the Caucasian people were superior. That's what they taught in the public school when I was growing up. And something that's still somewhat today because they took God out of the public school, and they let all kind of weird and crazy things come in. It's all right for two boys to kiss. It's all right for two. If you let your child be taught by a freak, what you think that freak means? They're not in the nature that God put it in. So it's a freakish. You ain't going to let your child be taught by some freak, but this world make it seem that you wrong for even condemning that. And that's the job of Satan. His job is to make evil seem fair, not goodness, not honesty seem fair, but falsehood seem fair. And that's what he keep his community. They keep their community strong by giving us the falsehood, and they take all the reality, like the skyscrapers and the planes and the job hiring and all the other stuff. And picking out who they want to work in their organization, and they pick those people and they watch them and see how they act and how they been trained for they keep them. And they after 6 months or 3 or 90 days, that they see they've been trained in the way of being selfish and not giving and not kind, then they keep them on the job. So this is what the problem we have. So Allah said he would never change our condition until we change what's in our heart. We had to get our heart back, and we had to get our heart back right and have this cold heart that's being cold and bitter toward each other and thank God for bless us. It's not going to happen. God say only bless those who are going to do right. So we have to learn how and practice right. We had to practice even buying from each other because we have been in a bad habit of buying from people or spending our money like we just don't care about money, like we hate money. That frame of mind was given to us, and the idea that money is to do whatever we want to, even buying stuff that kill our liver, kidneys, and mess our eyes up, make our skin bad, because we don't we trust people that had earned it. We trust people that have no interest in seeing that we are happy. So this is a new day, and we thank Allah for this blessed day that we have opportunity to turn this evil world around, and we know we have to change our heart and our mind. Some, you know, some of us think we just know it all. What we say is we without any study, we just saying things that might fit one situation, but it won't fit another situation. We have to get in the mind that every situation is different. To bring something to logical conclusion, we have to do that in order to make things, to make the road or make this life better to live in. So we thank Allah for the opportunity to come and share a few minutes with you on About Talk tonight. And we thank you for being on. We know you had some difficult, I know you had some difficulty getting on, but I thank Allah you made it. And keep up the good work. And I'm turning it back over to you. And I greet you as I came, of Aisha'Allah, Aleikum.
Aleikum As-Salam. I appreciate that. I appreciate the support that you're giving for the Ba, dear husband. And you said some true words, every true words, simple words, simple explanation, but in a simple connecting, so we should all be able to understand and see where you're coming from, inshallah, inshallah. If anyone else have anything to say or you want to voice something pertaining to the message of concern, serious message of concern, or the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children, just indicated by pressing 1 on your phone receiver. And we'll see a hand that goes up, and we will push that hand, and we'll bring you into the queue, and you'll be able to speak. Okay. I don't know what this Blog Talk Radio show is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School, as a matter of fact, so we want to bear that in mind. And also, you may hear a different or new addition or, should I say, focus added on the last 30 minutes of each program that we have. I've been instructed that we going to start to concentrate or think about real estate as one of the business. This Blog Talk Radio show will be focusing on the last 30 minutes of the Blog Talk Radio show. So that means from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m., we're still on. But from 7 p.m. until 8:30, it will focus on the message of concern when the brothers are on and the psychological effect of an image on the mind of the world's children when the sisters are on. Same time, theirs will be also from starting at 8:30, if I say it like that, from 7 p.m. until 8:30. We'll be talking about the focus, psychological effect. Okay, and then from 8:30 until 9, we will be speaking on real estate. And we want to get as much and gather as much information as we can pertaining to real estate. Well, I guess with the brothers, too, starting at 8 o'clock, there'll be starting on business, talking on business like they usually do. And we'll be also adding at 8:30. Be adding real estate, so it'll be businesses and real estate from 8 until 9 on the brothers. When the brothers come on, the message of concern with the sisters, we'll just be doing that part from 8:30 until 9. The part, the business part of real estate. And we want to get as many guests as we can to either in that field or that can share beneficial information to us or whatever current event or up-to-date information, current information that we may have on real estate during that hour from 8:30 until 9. Inshallah, that turns out good because it's wide open nowadays, real estate, wide open. Okay. So what I'm going to do now then is read a story from Brother Henry's book. We know this pandemic, but the latest one is all the way live, so we have to take precautionary measures. And we do have people who are knowledgeable on this strand of the virus. And they are saying that it's the foreign countries like Africa and China, and Europe, parts of Europe over there, that are more wide open with that virus. Viruses are more wide open over there than it is here in the United States so far. But they're still talking about the injections for the babies, 5 years old. From 5 years old, I think it's an awful thing, but you know, that's what they say. We still have to be careful of the places where we go. We have to take precautionary measures like social distancing, the mask, the gloves, and the sanitizing of our hands. When we're touching carts, like grocery carts, when we go out to the grocery store, we know there are a lot of people. They go to the grocery stores and shopping malls and places like that. So we have to be just careful. Pray Allah. Allah has blessed us, a lot of us. And we know that also a lot have gone back to Allah. And all this is Allah's, it's by Allah's will that we stay here or we leave. You know, we don't determine that. We know that we can't stay here forever, and we know that our destiny lies in Allah's hands, but we never really thought about the virus being the thing that would cause us to return to Allah or not be in existence anymore on the planet here. So we just have to be careful. That's all we have to be careful. Push 1 on your phone receiver if you have anything to say, anything to offer, anything to share, and move on to the queue. Meanwhile, I'll read from Brother Henry's book, who I share the mascot of the program here on Tuesdays and Sundays. Oh, and as a matter of fact, another thing, the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children will be only one day instead of 2 days. You know, it'll just be one of the nights instead of two nights. Instead of Sundays and Tuesdays, it'll either be Sunday or Tuesday. And right now, my mind's not made up which one. And it's because of beneficial growth as well. It's something that can be added later on to the program, the Blog Talk Radio Show. But, okay, now I want to read. And we're going to try and get as many guests as we can. Well, we can get a guest one night, maybe on a Tuesday night. Who knows, the early part of the night, you know, when it's out, when it's the sister's night to have the Blog Talk Radio show focus. Psychological effect that the image has on the mind of the world's children and other effects, other things like the virus and the school system and the truth and a lot of things being brought out under that title that the children, that the sisters handle. And I'm thinking this, it would be on Tuesday nights because all weekend, the educators, or even just people that are coming on as guests, Sunday night may be difficult for them because they're getting ready for Monday morning and would have had rest, you know, even if they had something else to do besides that. Sunday night would be better for them to get the rest to and do whatever they have to do to prepare themselves for their Monday morning task, which will be starting up the whole week, so they will organize themselves and get all that together so things should run smooth for them during the week, inshallah. And I pray that everybody is successful in their endeavors to give back and to recognize and to be beneficial to each other, inshallah. Okay. Now, before I start reading, if anyone has anything to contribute or anything to voice, please do it. You can do it now, or you can wait until after I finish reading, if you would like to. So please push one on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into you'll be recognized. Your mic will be open, and you'll be brought into the queue. To voice or to speak or to contribute or whatever it is you have, whether positive or negative, please just keep it respectful and considerate of others, mindful of others. We have to or should be careful what we say to each other. We want to give each other the respect that we want for ourselves. You know, each individual has to give the same respect to the other that they would expect for the other to give to them. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street, you know. Like we say, some things are best unsaid. You just pray to Allah, make dua to Allah, and for the rest of us, make dua to Allah as well for each other. Okay, I don't see anybody indicating they want to speak or say anything, so what I'll do is go on and start to read the best I can because I am having digital work done as well. Okay, this is Brother Henry's book, and along with this book, the title is What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Brother Henry S. Muhammad. And it says this book is dedicated to the lifelong works of Imam Warren Dean Muhammad. May Allah bless you forever with paradise. And the other from the Holy Quran, the opening of the book, is it states, and it's very thoughtful of Brother Henry to put this in this book, and very necessary too. It helps to get your mind on cue. It says, think not, the Holy Quran, it recites, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. Think not of my servants as dead. They are alive, though you perceive it not. And then it goes on to say this book is dedicated to the lifelong works of Imam Waridi Muhammad. May Allah bless you forever with paradise. Okay, and I want to turn to page 46, which is chapter 10. And it reads, false concepts are psychological pathogens. And there's a photocopy from Congress, from the Library of Congress, of a youth, look like he's about 3 years old, a youth of color, who's standing up in a crib with a hospital gown on. So the little child is going through some psychological work, or I'll just say medical work or therapy, I'll take it to be, because we're talking about pathogen. Okay? It says false concepts are psychological pathogens. False concepts are psychological pathogens. A pathogen is a microscopic virus, germ, or bacterium that has the ability to cause biological disease. A psychological pathogen is a very hard to detect subtle concept or teaching that has the ability to cause serious mental disease. The basic path that words or concepts follow on their journey to become human behavior is very easy to understand. Okay, that's what it reads now. I don't know how it sounds, but it reads the basic path that words or concepts follow on their journey to become human behavior is very easy to understand. Okay, now, first, words develop into thoughts, and then thoughts develop into behavior. Let's rephrase that. Words are the food for your thoughts, and your thoughts are the fuel for your actions. Understanding this basic fundamental formality or formula, excuse me, for human development is mandatory if you want to protect your mind and the minds of your children from sickness. Let me put it to you this way. You are what you eat. You are what you eat physically, and you are what you eat mentally. The food you eat physically becomes a part of your physical body, and the words you feed your mind becomes a part of your thinking. If you feed your physical body diseased physical food, you can expect to become physically sick. If you feed your mind diseased words or concepts, you can expect that your mind will become mentally ill. It's as simple as that. The reverse is true. When you feed yourself healthy foods, feed your physical body healthy physical foods, your physical body soon becomes healthy and strong. It also stands to reason that when you feed your mind healthy concepts, your mind will soon become mentally stable and mentally strong. I don't care if your skin is as black as ink or as white as paper. If you feed your mind healthy concepts, your thinking and your life will grow to become well-balanced and strong. The formula also works in reverse. I don't care if your skin is as black as the ink or as white as paper. If you feed your mind abnormal pagan concepts and beliefs, your thinking will become unbalanced and weak. The above statement explaining how this simple yet complex psychological formula works in the thinking of human beings is also thoroughly explained in the scriptural language of the Holy Quran and the Holy Bible. The Bible states in the book of Genesis that man, the human being, should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Excuse me, could you turn it down?
Excuse me. I don't know if it's okay. I'll leave it like that. Okay. Now, okay, the Bible states in the book of Genesis that man, the human being, should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, it reads Bible, Genesis 2nd chapter, 16th and 17th verses. Excuse my pronunciation of some of the words here. I mentioned to you that denture work is going on with me, some denture work. Gum problems here. But okay, it says, Bible, Genesis 2nd chapter, 16th and 17th verses, reads as follows. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The knowledge of good, which is the universally pure, clean message that God revealed to his prophets, should never be mixed with the psychologically destructive pagan concepts practiced by ancient pagan societies. When the two teachings are mixed together into one teaching and then fed to the members of society as religious truth, the minds of the people within that society become mentally unbalanced and abnormal. That's a fact. Soon the normal humane sensitivities and thinking within the people begins to wither and die, while abnormal, deformed, inhuman or inhumane sensitivities and thinking begins to take root and flourish. Just remember that the healthiest of all human thoughts is to believe that there is only one almighty and unseen creator who is responsible for the creation of all things in the heavens and the earth. And no one or no thing has the power to supersede or overrule the supreme authority and complete power of God. That's a capital G, a hyphen, and a D. Spelt for God. In a society that builds its institutions on the principles of the oneness of God and the oneness of God's creation has the potential to lead the world in excellence. Shouldn't that be our goal, all be striving to live in a society that reflects the excellence teaching that our prophets taught us? Okay, then that was that particular chapter being read. And if anyone wants to contribute or share some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with us, just push one on your receiver and your mic will be opened and you can be brought into the queue to speak. Okay, if not, then I wanted to point something out that I saw on the get to it right away. Okay. I'm sorry, I was just trying to get this, pull this up. Maybe I can't pull it up as quick as I would like. Just be patient with me a little bit, please. Okay. Well, I can't seem to get to that one. It's a little bit troublesome to try to get to it, seems like. You're trying to find things, go back, that you've read on these cell phones and a lot of functions on here. I don't know how to get to or how to preserve what I would like to bring to you. Okay. Well, if anybody else has anything else to contribute, then take your time and come on and let me know. If not, then I'll just have to read another one of Brother Henry's chapters. in his book, which are all good. All good. I have to give him that. It's all good. Alhamdulillah. Okay. This one is chapter 20. Traumatized and living in a state of denial. And this is one of our youth of color. And one of our youth of color has a plate in a chair, and he's kneeling. This is the picture from, it's a cursor from the Library of Congress. And he's kneeling with his elbows on the chair, and he's on his knees checking this plate out, which has all Caucasians on here, as if a family had just took a portrait. Okay, I should read it. Traumatized and living in a state of denial. The social sciences tell us that victims of violent crimes need to go through a period of psychological readjustment or psychotherapy so that they won't have to spend the rest of their lives experiencing the mental anguish and pain that an extremely violent crime would produce in their minds. When we examine the cruel, hateful, and heartless crimes that were violently forced upon the lives of African American slaves over a 300-year period, it becomes shockingly and painfully clear that the African-American community never experienced a true period of psychological reconstruction or readjustment. It says, when we examine the cruel, hateful, and heartless crimes that were violently forced upon the lives of African-American slaves over a 300-year period, it becomes shockingly and painfully clear that the African-American community never experienced a true period of psychological reconstruction or readjustment. Just think about that for a second. For several centuries, African-American slaves were forced under the threat of death to surrender their God-given right to think freely and independently for themselves. For several centuries, African-American slaves were forced under the threat of death to surrender their God-given right to think freely and independently for themselves. African-American slaves were brutally forced under the threat of death to accept a religious teaching that said God lived on earth humanly as a Caucasian man. They were also forced under the threat of death to believe a teaching that said African Americans were cursed by God to be subhuman, obedient, willing slaves for their cruel slave masters from the day they were born until the day they died. Just imagine if a nation of mentally unstable people held guns up to your ancestors' heads and forced them to work without pay day after day, year after year, from sunup to sundown, every day of their lives. Just about all of you would have your present-day employers thrown in jail if he or she stole just a week's worth of pay from you. Just a little bit more to read. Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your ancestors were forced for centuries to live as domesticated work animals under a legal system that allowed them to be branded by hot irons and sold on auction blocks like sheep, horses, cows, and mules? Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your wives and daughters were forced under the threat of death to sexually reproduce like dogs and horses just so they could give birth to an endless supply of slave babies who could later be sold on auction blocks or worked in the fields as human livestock? If unthinkable, crimes like these were historically committed against your ancestors, wouldn't they need a period of psychological readjustment so that their traumatized thinking wouldn't be passed on to their future generations? Sure they would. But the African-American slave community never received a period of psychologically readjust into American society. The African-American community was never psychologically rebuilt after it was psychologically torn down. To this day, I believe that the African-American community suffers from severe post-traumatic stress associated with their ancestors' 300-year slave experience. Okay. Where are the learned social scientists and psychologists that are ready to explain to the American society how pent-up anxiety, anger, inner fear, self-hatred, and trauma have plagued the thinking of the African-American community for centuries? Where are the religious leaders and community leaders who are brave enough to tell to the African-American community that God does not have a flesh body or an ethnic identity? The straight truth is that African-American fathers can never regain their rightful, dignified role as fathers and husbands while their wives and children are being taught that God Almighty lived on the earth as a Caucasian man. Okay? So now, does anyone want to contribute to that or respond to that or make a comment about the reading? If you do, press 1 on your receiver, phone receiver. Your hand will be recognized. Your mics will be opened, and you'll be brought into the queue. Or the queue. Okay, seems like we got a reading session. I don't know where that Muslim Journal is, if I got it this week or not. Oh, you know, we do have a Eid coming up soon, and it's supposed to be the most important Eid, Eid al-Fitr. I'm sorry, excuse me. I had to when you, you know, when you're alone in here and you have to just get up and do some things, can call anybody if nobody's here but you, then takes me a minute. Excuse me, and thank you for being patient. Oh, we got, let's see, it was Idel Fitra in May. Okay, it's Idel Adha coming up now. And I think they say it's going to be about the July 9th? I think it's going to say July 9th. Does anyone know in the audience about Idel Adha and then what date it's going to be on? If you do, you want to share that with us? Well, I'll try to check this calendar to be for sure. That's what I'm trying to do. Well, okay. This, in a picture was in May. Okay. Okay, well, that's the next, just messed up. Had it on the back. And just flipped right over with these cell phones. I'm telling you, they drive you bananas. I'm sorry. Well, Idel Adha is the next one coming up. Idel Fitra just left us in May, so Idel Adha is the next one coming up. And it's just going to be July. I think I heard somebody say July 9th. I haven't really looked at my calendar, and I was trying to flip on my page here. But it won't stay. Well, this technology is something else. Okay, I see a hand on here. Let's see. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, I thought that was you. Okay.
Yep.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. I just want to elaborate on something. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and that's dealing with business and when Muslims come together. You know, there's a tafsir. It says that when Muslims come together, he says, no one is perfect but Allah. No one is perfect but Allah, so we have to practice for perfection. So when Muslims come together, they come together to do right. They practice.
Mm-hmm.
They practice to come together to do right. If you see your brother or your sister doing something wrong, you're supposed to go and pull their coat. And mm-hmm. you're supposed to, you are you really supposed to let one brother, you know one brother is stealing or taking from the other. You know you're supposed to let that happen. Somebody's supposed to know about it, or you're supposed to let him know, say, no, you can't either let him know that he's not supposed to do that, or you tell the person that he's stealing from, let him know that so-and-so is stealing for you, from you if the person continue to steal after you told him that I know mm-hmm. what you're doing and you shouldn't do that, my brother or my sister, you know, like that. And also, mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the Holy Quran or either Hadith that I saw where that spouses, that you should follow your spouses down the road to Rome. If your spouse
That's
is
right.
going doing wrong, you're not supposed to follow him down the road. There's nowhere I see that you're supposed to do that. Because when you do, if you do that, I have seen where you get the same chastisement that they do. And sometimes you seem like to me that I see when they do that, they get worse. They get more the fire than the one that's doing it. Alhamdulillah. So that's one thing that I go ahead.
No, I said yeah, they get a double dose.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. And those are things that we need to also teach our children too. And then also the advantage that we have over those that's into our community that's not African Americans, you know, that is one thing we have advantage over them, that all we have to do, I heard somebody say, well, all you have to do is be competitive. That means you open your store and be competitive. But the advantage that you have over them is that they're doing wrong. And Allah said falsehood would always fail. They out there dealing drugs, alcohol, slinging that pork, you know, doing all those kind of things that which is wrong. So that means that you have an advantage over them. And then they're not giving back to the community. Those are the things mm-hmm. that you have advantage of. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you have to do is have something for them to be competitive. And then one time I was out there in the community and I was I think I said this before, maybe down the line, that one time I was in the community talking to one of the youth up there in the community, and I asked them, because they was out there, you know, dealing drugs and doing this and doing that. And I said, well, why don't y'all, you know, stop doing drugs and, you know, giving it to your people? And then, you know, they had an excuse, but they said that if I stop, how I'm going to feed my family?
Mm.
He said, I just came out of prison. I ain't been on out of prison federal, and they won't give me no job because I'm on federal offense. I don't know in other states, but in Louisiana, if you have a federal offense, majority of the time they don't hire you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the question was right there. So for us to even go and tell our brothers and sisters to stop dealing drugs, stop doing this, we have to still have something for them too. We have to offer them something else, because they say, how I'm going to feed my family? Where am I going to get money
mm-hmm.
from? Do you
mm-hmm.
have a job
mm-hmm.
for me? So that means that we have to, not only that, but we have to have jobs for our children too. Alhamdulillah.
That's true.
Assalamu
alaikum. Very true. Salaam Salaam. You're right, Sister Karan. It seems as if those who have been incarcerated, when they get out, they don't get jobs right away, because I would never forget a friend of mine wrote, had put it on the ballot, what they called, they like banned the box. Because, and it passed, we voted all on it here in Atlanta, because when an ex-offender comes out and they can't find a job, they shouldn't have to pay for a mistake that they've already paid for. They shouldn't have to, they go to jail for that mistake or to prison, then they come back out and they still pay for it like the rest of their lives. So we got together and did the ban the box, and it worked, and they did pass the law here. That they have to, if they have to consider that they've already paid for the crime that they committed, so they can need to be given a second chance. That's how that second chance thing came about too. Before, because they've been trying to work on it for a long time, but you know, it finally came into fruition, and there are places, and but you had to give them money first, places that get grants themselves and get money for businesses, rather, that hire ex-offenders when they come out, you know, and give them a chance. They get a grant, and they get paid. They get monies, you know, not a lot, but they get monies for showing that they are willing to hire them and give them another chance, give them a second chance. It may not be too much, but, you know, more people need to work in that field, which is very helpful, because you'd be surprised of the families that don't want to accept them when they come out, because the trust has to be rebuilt. You know, they have to get the trust built back up. So people don't want them in their houses, you know, for different reasons, for the company that they might keep or for the things that they may do, you know, take things from the house, you know, sell them and stuff like that, things like that. So the families they're coming back to are very insecure. So they have to, you have to learn to trust them, but they have to build that trust back up. And that calls for not laying up in bed all day, but getting out and trying to find, show us that you're willing to do something. That's what these programs and reentry programs are about too. You know, they have to prove to the people and to themselves mainly, you know, that they don't want to be a part of that, the revolving door in and out of the system, you know, going back and forth into the system, paying over and over and over, it seems like. Because a lot of them, that's what it does. It runs them right back into the system. And so they'd be in and out of prison for the rest of their lives because nobody wants to give them a chance. So that's working both in. The person who wants to be given the chance and the person who wants to see the person be given a chance by helping them find money making other than drugs and other things that they went into prison for. So all mental health in the mental health department, mental health grants and all, they refused at one time to stop giving grants and all for people who were working in the mental health arena or areas. You know, because they said it's not doing any good, wasn't doing any good because they kept being a part of that revolving door, going in and out, going out. But then we had to sit down at the table and prove why. Why do they continue to go in and out and be in and out and a part of the system? Because they can't find jobs. They can't find living accommodations. If they go into a program when they get out, released from the incarceration, then they can't stay in that program forever. You know, you'd be promoted from one level to another level. They come into a halfway house. You can't stay there forever, you know, but they allow you to find jobs. And then, like I said the other day, there's some people who are willing to give them a second chance and will give them jobs, give the ex-offenders jobs, females and males.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say one thing that I have found you know, a solution. It's a small solution. It's what I do is, like, I remember the imam, he was teaching, he said that what we should do, we should invest. They even invest in some, you know, people, like if you want to invite them to the mass, they'll never get, he said, well, you can't pay nobody $10 or tell them to come listen in or something like that. You could pay them $10. I'll pay you $10. Come listen to this lecture, you know, like that. And so I picked that up dinner with my children, with my grandchildren, really, at my grandchildren. And that teach them how to work. And so, like, when I need some work done, I ask them, I say, y'all come help grandma rake these leaves up, and I'll pay you. Mm-hmm. And so now they have gotten to right now when they want some money, even their mama say, so mama, could you give me some money to buy this? She say, why don't you go help grandma? Grandma got a job for you to do. So now they'll call me and ask me, do I have anything to do so I can have them to make some money, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And they be trying to, you know, mm-hmm. make it high. I invest into them, and that is good. And so now they could see where they could work and still going out there and dealing drugs. And that is a myth when and Shuja, he could bear witness too. There's a myth when they say that our people don't want to work. Yes, they do want to work. They just don't want to, our brothers and sisters do want to work. They just don't want to work for that Caucasian man because he, the way he talks to them. Although they may, it's amazing how I see some of our people, they might have nothing at all, but they still have that certain dignity where they're not going to allow you to talk to me like that because I don't have this material mm-hmm. gain, or I don't have this, mm-hmm. I don't have that. I said, and that's a blessing mm-hmm. right there, and that's good. That's good right there.
Right.
So that is their problem right there, because every time we be out there, they always ask them for work, and they work until they're finished, and they do good work. So mm-hmm. that is the problem right
Clear.
There. That's why we have to start doing something for ourselves and helping our brothers and our sisters. And we keep crying about these people are into our community. All we have to do is be competitive, because if you talk to the people in the community, they don't want them there either. They don't
no,
want
they
them
don't.
There either, but they don't. So mm-hmm. because they don't talk to them right, you know, and do them right either. So they see too. So all we have to do is be competitive and start selling is no more than the basis. And you'd be surprised, alhamdulillah. You'd be surprised because mm-hmm. we are already trained. What we still don't understand is that it is in our DNA. We have already been trained to support each other because that's all we could go and get our, when we had the stores. Like I said, I was 24 years old before I walked into a Walmart store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here in Louisiana, you know, when I went to California, it was different. But here in Louisiana, my parents, I guess they didn't want to go into the store, you know, because of that racist stuff. They didn't want us to experience that, alhamdulillah. And I thank them for that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the other hands that have gone. Thank you, Sister Quran. But and you can stick around. We only have a few more minutes, so we're gonna try to get everybody in before. So Assalamu alaikum, looks like Brother Amin. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amin.
Waalaikumsalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We hear you good.
Okay.
How you doing? Praise
the Lord. All right, bro. Yeah. I'm on my way to Venice Beach out here, and we got about a couple more hours of sunlight until it gets dark, so I can go out to Venice Beach and see if I can make a little money. But all praise be to Allah. Like I was saying earlier. You know, I'd like to talk about real estate. I'd like to get a show going and have people call in and talk about real estate matters, you know, Best Buy real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a brother, he's quite successful, and he was just telling me Jews buy real estate, but they don't sell it. You know, they buy their real estate and keep it and hand it over to their children. Grandchildren. So I thought about that. Yeah, you know, they don't,
mm-hmm.
be selling their stuff. They hold on, they hold on to it, you know. And so.
Yeah, they will.
I like to start a show and we talk about Let's Buy Real Estate and talk about it and have different speakers and people come
mm-hmm.
on who have something to say about real estate or their experiences. This morning on the prayer line, not on the lifeline, but the prayer line out here in California, the brother, in fact, Brother Rashad was leading the prayer line out here because the brother saw me, but he's out of town. So Brother Rashad read the Holy Quran where Allah says, in matters involving something that you have to do, in the future, you know, committed to writing, you know. And I had a chance to talk about the situation that I was in where I introduced a brother to another person, and he ended up mm-hmm. buying this property that I introduced him to. And the brother, you know, refused to give me any money. You know what I mean? We had been doing things kind of like on a handshake for years. for years, but our relationship got kind of bad, so he found an opportunity to become a devil, you know. He's supposed to be a Muslim brother, but Muslims don't act like that. So we talked about that. We talked about that for about almost an hour this morning on the prayer line. Allah says, committed to writing, you know, and even though we do things on a handshake, Allah says, put it in writing. Hey, we got to obey.
Right.
We have to learn to obey. You know, we came into this religion, what, 30 years ago or so, even though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, your word is bond and bond is life, and I give my life for my word shall fail. But Allah said,
right,
put it in writing. You know, put it in writing. And so I'd have had my money, which involves a considerable amount of money, if I'd have obeyed Allah and not, you know, not take it for granted, take this religion as some kind of casual, you know. So, well, that's one thing. Claire Muhammad STEM School Online is coming along. I got a brother. He's working on the website where people could go to the website and buy Imam Muhammad's books and tapes, CDs, whatever, you know. So that should be happening in about a week or two, another week or two. So I'm kind of really anxious to get started with that, and also to reach out to children who are going to public school. We want to see if we could reach out to the Muslim children who are in elementary school, middle school, and high school, and invite their parents to bring them to the masjid on Saturday and Sunday and eat a good meal, a couple good meals, and hear some good talk by some good strong brothers and sisters, and teach them about STEM, the importance of science, technology, engineering, and math, as opposed to just going to school and learning basket weaving, you know what I mean, and playing basketball all night, you know what I mean. Explain to them the importance of mathematics, and you know. So, inshallah, I'm coming along, but I want to get the radio show going and let it be a part of, you know, we have 2 hours a night on the message of concern, and on Monday, Wednesday, I think Saturday, what we need to do is dedicate that hour or 45 minutes, maybe 45 minutes to let's buy real estate. Let's buy real estate.
Oh, that's only on Saturday?
No, Monday, Wednesday is the Saturday. That's what I'm thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I didn't mention it.
Wait, pardon?
I said I did mention it earlier. I, like, announced it a little bit about that. It was a plan to be looking, you know, looking out for it and to get guests in real estate and in real estate. I mentioned that earlier, the part of the show, you know.
Yeah.
And
I feel like this is playing hardball. We need to play hardball now. We have been taught the religion. We've been taught for the last 80 years, starting back with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, ever since 1931. So 90-something years. So we need to start playing hardball and stop playing around, you know what I mean, and really talk about some strong subjects and get it going, because, I was talking to a brother yesterday. I said, you know, we need to come together, stop bickering so much, and all this stuff going on about some people don't listen to AM 360, and some people don't listen to Lifeline, and I know they have problems with Imam Wallace Muhammad II, you know, he tries to guard the intellectual property of his father, and some people are encroaching on the intellectual mm-hmm. property, and it keeps everybody kind of like on a non-trusting type mode, you know, and the community is divided. Like I was telling the brother, man, you know, we need to make peace. We need to make peace.
Right.
Our children are at stake. We, you know, we can't even educate our children. You know, we're so busy fighting. You know, I mean, let's put our children first. Let's put our children first and stop all this bickering and fighting and cussing and all like that. I had to tell the brother, I was talking to the brother yesterday. I mean, brother, you need to stop cussing. Golly. Mm. Oh, he just is going on and on and I said that's
every
not
other way.
Islamic. You ain't tough.
No, it's not.
You ain't tough. You cussing.
No, it's not.
All that old stuff and them NIGs doing this and them NIGs. Oh God, man, come on, man.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to report. Alhamdulillah. So. That's it. So I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Daya.
Okay, so when do we start? Okay, yes, you did. So this
Monday,
is
Wednesday,
night.
And Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Monday. Okay,
Monday,
so we
Wednesday
start.
And Friday, we're gonna.
We start next Monday then with the real estate.
Well, the Wednesday is tomorrow, right?
Well, Wednesday's coming up. Yeah, that's right, Wednesday. Yeah, and Friday. We
no,
don't
no, no,
have,
no. Not Monday. Friday.
Saturday.
No, not
Saturday.
Monday.
Monday,
Wednesday, Saturday.
Okay, got it. Got it. What time? What time was that?
Well, you know, the message of concern is but it starts at 7 o'clock on y'all time, right? 7 o'clock. So from 7 to 8, we do the message of concern, and then from 8 to 9, let's talk about real estate. Let's buy real estate.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be 30 minutes from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say one thing. Alhamdulillah. You're right, my brother, because I say that's the first thing that, you know, I when I was working with my children and we had came across some funds, and then I said, and I want to do an investment, and then I said, oh, you know what, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that number one investment is real estate. Let's
mm-hmm.
invest in real estate, alhamdulillah. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate is a good thing.
Right, right.
The only thing about Louisiana, I mean, only thing about California is that, Jesse, and then one thing, you're right, so we have to know, that's a good you have the class, because we have to know the real estate law they have there in California. You own the house, but you don't own the land. I've owned that land in California.
A lot of places like that. Yeah, a lot of places are like that, not only in California, but you have to know when you buy your property if the land is included with the building.
Yeah, but in Louisiana, it's not like that. You can own the land. Only time you don't own is the land that's in the city. If you buy land in downtown or something like that, You don't own that because of the mineral rights and stuff like that. But down here you own the land also.
So you're saying when you buy a building, you automatically have the land. Is that what you're saying? When you buy a building, the land automatically comes with the building?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you buy a building, you go, yeah. And then, but in Texas, like I bought some land in Texas. But you buy the land, but you don't have the mineral right.
That's
why. Yeah. So that means that if you have anything in the minerals
right
on your property, they could come and get it, you know.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm sure in Inshallah it would be successful with the real estate part, because a lot of people now are into real estate. And because like Brother Amin was saying, like Jews, they buy the properties, but they don't sell them. you know, save from the family members, like grandchildren.
Yeah.
I'll that's a good, yeah, a good yeah. thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of real estate, you know, like a brother was saying, well, he was saying, well, let's talk about income-producing real estate. Yeah, yeah, we've been talking about that, too. Yeah, but just let's just talk about buying the real estate and keeping it and keep it and find some way to use it and find some way to enhance it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the mode of looking around and getting with our friends and our relatives and putting our money together and buying this real estate. See, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can we do it?
Okay.
If you could do it with your own money and credit, go ahead and do it. But if you can't, you might have to group with people. You might have to get with your friends or relatives
mm-hmm.
and buy something, you know, and learn how to put it in the right name, in the right name so everybody's protected. See, that's what I want to try to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, explain how your investment would be protected, you know, this way. You know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, just hold it for a little while until you think of something to do with it. Out here, I teach a school that's what the school's called Centennial. And
mm-hmm.
they have the class that I teach. It's called Building and Construction. It was a brother who had been teacher in that wood shop, building construction, for 30-something years. But somebody must have made him mad or something. But when the school started in September, he came to school. And next thing you know, he was resigning. He was retiring. 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
31 years in that mm-hmm. position, right in that, you know. So me and him talked for about a minute or so. He was just telling me, you know.
This is Suleiman.
I was. And so I've been in the position myself for the last few months. And I really learned a lot about building a house. Because, you know, and even though I'm a real estate broker, I really didn't know a lot about how to build a house. Really. And this is something that... You know, we need to pass on to our children how to build a house or get a little, you know, young brother, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, but also the science of building a house. You know, they say Jesus was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Learning
yeah.
how to set that form and put that rebar down there, put that concrete down there and set your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that concrete hard, and then you got your anchor bolts and your pull-down bolts, and you start framing, you know what I mean? All
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
So me trying to teach these children, you know, mainly it's Mexican children, little Latino children, like Centennial High School. I learned, because while I was putting them YouTube videos on there back-to-back, and I'd have three or four classes, so I see the same video two or three times a day, and so I was picking it up, I was getting it, and I said,
oh,
this is really what we need to be passing on to our young brothers and sisters, how to put together, how to build a house. And Rashad is really the man, because Rashad is the architect, and he's the one that can really draw up your plans for you. You know, Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all praise be to Allah. So we'll talk about all that. Let's buy real estate.
Okay.
Let's talk real estate, you know. All right, I'm going to make them.
Okay, thank you. Wa alaykum as-salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, it's time for us to close now. It's 9:09, and she did call the last minute. So, Akbar. Well, all the brothers are gone. did you leave yet, brother? I mean, you still on?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyaka na Buruwa, Iyaka na Sain, Ishtira Sarata Mustakim, Sarata na Dina Amta Alehim, Fagriel Makdubi Alehim, Oladali. Amen. Assalamu alaikum, believers.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.